Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Subtitle of the message of study is The Missing Link. And if you are physically able, let's stand out of reverence this morning for the reading of God's Word. There was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man and feared God along with his whole household. He did many charitable deeds for the Jewish people and prayed to God always. About 3 in the afternoon, he distinctly saw in a vision an angel of God who came in and said to him, "Cornelius." Looking intently at him, he became afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" The angel told him, "Your prayers and your acts of charity have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who is also named Peter. He is lodging with Simeon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who had spoke to him had gone, he called 2 of his household slaves and a devout soldier who was one of those who attended him. After explaining everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Father, thank you this morning again for this privilege we have to be here. Father, hide me behind the cross, Lord, so that your Spirit would speak through your word as only you can. God, speak to whatever need it is, Lord, that anyone has in this midst. God, we know your word is power. We know it's life. We know it brings healing. We know it brings hope. God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts all over the globe today in services, God, just like this. Thank you, Lord, that we share one story, the story of salvation through Jesus Christ and the person and work of him. Father, we know that it is you, the one true, the only living God, that we commit this, and we ask it in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I guess my son's on a different time zone because he is in Greece. So who in the world, I guess that I'm going to give him a freebie today. He just texted me, but I just remembered he is 8 hours. He's in Greece. By the way, we got to talk about it this week. As I said, my son, I'm preaching in Acts, and he's in Greece. So we got to talk a little bit about Paul's journey, the missionary journeys, and it was kind of exciting as I was able to share with him again that, remember, hey, there's brothers and sisters in Christ that traveled over many, many years ago, missionary journeys, and how exciting that is. But we're going to look at verses 1-3 again. There was a man named in Caesarea, named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man, feared God always with his whole household, did many charitable deeds for the Jewish people, and always prayed to God. About 3 in the afternoon, he distinctly saw a vision, an angel of God who came in and said to him, "Cornelius." The first thing that I want to share with you comes out of those verses this morning, and it is this: seek the Lord, and he will be found. Now, I say that because Cornelius was a Gentile. He was referred to here as a devout man who feared God along with his whole household. Now, we know from the scripture, okay, remember now, we're at this brand new emerging birth of the church as we know it, the fellowship of believers and this new covenant in Jesus Christ. So remember, this is like a totally brand new thing. But what do we know about Gentiles, scripturally speaking? We're at this place where, in a sense, the door to the Gentiles has been opened. But it's very new. Did God ever do any neat things with Gentiles in Scripture that honored him? I know one. It was a prostitute. A story that many of us know. Rahab, the prostitute. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. Because you see that in how God even honored this person who honored the Lord. God used her. In this profound picture of this man, Cornelius, and who was a devout man, who in a sense under this new covenant doesn't even understand the magnitude of what he's doing, because we know what Scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found. So my question to you this morning is, you may not understand everything it means to follow Christ or to know his plan and purpose for you, but maybe you're here and you're just kind of checking out the claims of Christ, Christianity. I want to encourage you to do something. Seek the Lord, and he will be found. And I want to tell you another thing. You might say, well, I want you to sit down, and I want you to just stick with me until you can convince me it's true. I can't do that. I can't convince you of what only God himself can help you understand. Tell you what I can do. I'll share with you the good news of salvation, but then I'll do the most important thing, because I know the God that I serve is a God of power. I will then step back and let the one who can more than ever through the Spirit help you understand what I've shared with you and what God's word says, because he is a powerful God that loves, that reveals himself, that changes hearts and changes lives. I can't change hearts and I can't change lives. What am I good at? Getting in the middle of what God wants to do and making a mess, right? Saying what I shouldn't say, talking too much, trying to help do God's work and what God can only do. And God's really made me aware of that. It's one of the reasons during invitations, I don't do what I saw so many times growing up. I remember one time, I think it was 25 plus stanzas, and I'm not joking, I'm not even exaggerating, of Just As I Am. And I remember going, good gracious, if there's anybody in here, just do something, somebody get saved so we can go home. But what I think the danger in that is begins to play on emotions, and the decision to follow Christ is one where you recognize you are lost in need of a Savior. It is not about mental manipulation to get you or someone else to pray a prayer. Because if you don't recognize that you're lost and without hope, and that Jesus Christ is the only source that can make you able to fellowship with God the Father as our eternal high priest, brothers and sisters, I don't have anything else for you. Because Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. So this morning, it would be disingenuous for me to have gotten you here under the guise of, hey, we're giving out hot dogs and cotton candy this morning, and we've got $50 gift cards to the first 25 people that show up today. We're really excited to have you here, and we've got a Starbucks, you know, coffee bar and all the trappings of whatever else it'd be, because I think that's exactly what, back in the car business days, that I used to open up the newspaper. I go, they ain't selling no car for that amount. Go try to buy that car. The moment you get there, they just sold it to somebody, but hey, they got some others they'll show you. It's called bait and switch, if you know anything about the car business. It's not ethical. It's wrong. And I don't think getting you here under the guise of some bait and switch, because if you came here looking for gas cards, what's going to happen when we run out of the gimmicks for you? We're going to try to upsell you on Jesus? Because right now you got a gas card need. And if Jesus isn't handing out gas cards right now, you want to go somewhere else to find out how to get one. That's what I'm saying. I think it's the most important thing we can do is, from the get-go, share the good news of Jesus with you. Because what? One day when you've been here for a few weeks, you haven't been sold on something, and you're not getting the old bait and switch. Jesus is the reason you showed up, and it's going to be the reason that you stay. Because you're going to know that the good news of salvation is about a personal relationship with Jesus, and it's all about God saying, hey, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you seek the Lord, he will be found. You know what loneliness is, and heartache and hurt? If you're not breathing and you don't have skin on you, I'd understand you not understanding it, but anybody else in here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You could probably write novels on it. I know I could. Volumes upon volumes of heartache, hurt, struggle, and battle. But I can tell you one thing. The stories before I came to saving faith in Jesus Christ at 29 years be a whole lot different than the stories now. Because, see, I have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that guards my heart in Christ Jesus now. And when I have a struggle or a difficulty now, I know that God's using each and every one of them. And I've not had one situation ever not turn out. I've never had God leave me high and dry where I go, you know what? Yep, I remember it plainer than day. God hung me out, left me high and dry. Because if that was the case, then God's a liar and he hadn't done that yet. And I know one thing, before I got saved, I got left high and dry a lot of times, but it wasn't a God issue. Amen? It was a me issue. And what was so sad about it is I grew up in a home where the gospel, my parents love Jesus. They're bananas for the Lord, still are at their age. They love Jesus more than anything. And if they had to choose right now between me and Jesus, bye to me, because they love Jesus that much. Listen to verses 4 and 5 again. So looking intently at him, he became afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" The angel told him, "Your prayers and your acts of charity have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now men, send to Joppa and call for Simon, who is also named Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." Ladies, the second thing that I want to share with you this morning, it's this: God can use anything or anyone for his glory. We see this man Cornelius, yes, he was sold out, but he wasn't what you'd call a follower of Christ. He didn't understand Christ, the new covenant, and hadn't placed his faith and trust in Jesus. He just loved God, and he was faithful to what he really didn't fully understand. He had a great understanding coming. But what it shows is God can use anything, just like he used Rahab. God can do anything with anyone. There's only one prerequisite. You got to be willing to let him use you. You got to be willing to do whatever it is that God wants you to do. We don't set the criteria in our lives. If you believe God wants you to do something this morning, God, well, I'll tell you what, Lord, you get me a new house and a new car, and Father, put me in the nicer zip code over there because I don't like where I'm at, and God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. We don't bargain with God. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts higher than my thoughts. What's actually interesting is God uses most notably those who are empty of self and willing to just be used. Those people that just go, God, hey, I'm so thankful you saved me. I'm so thankful that I'm breathing and you're such a blessing, God. I'm not rich. We don't have this. We don't have that. But God, I'm just thankful that I breathe the breath of life today. Now what happens on the other polar opposite end of that? It's again, the complaining because the car's not nice enough. The house isn't nice enough. The bank account doesn't have enough money. My kids are sick. My this, my that, inflation, gas prices. Well, it ain't God's fault you went and bought a $70,000 truck that you can't pay for. It's not God's fault that you've got so steeped in credit card debt because you can't control yourself when you walk into the store. That's not God's problem, is it? See, often what we'll do is we'll take and apply the bad decisions that we make, and we want to make it a God problem. You ever know what the old saying is? You can live on $35,000 or $40,000 comfortably. You might say, well, if we had $60,000, we wouldn't have any issues and we could start to say, let me just tell you, I'm old enough and I'm dumb enough and old enough that if you got $60,000, you're not going to live on $60,000 either. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? The rest of you, we need to talk. Because I'm telling you, I've seen this play out over and over and over. I've seen people go from $40,000 to $100,000, they're still dead broke. Until you learn to be thankful with what God's given, there's no amount of money in the world that'll ever fill the desires of the human condition. Because there's one thing that we're really good at, and what's that? Wanting more. Wanting different. Wanting new this and wanting new that. Today, God can use anyone for his glory, but you've got to be willing to lay down yourself and remove yourself from the equation and say, God, I don't have any preconceived notions. I don't have any stipulations, Father. I just want to live for you. I want to glorify you because you are good, you are faithful, and you love me. That's all I care about, Lord. I'm thankful that the relative health that my family has, yes, we got sniffles, we have this, we might have that. I got my heart stuff, and I got all the stuff that I deal with physically in my body, but I have all the reason in the world to glorify God. I can sit around and moan and whine about what isn't right, but all I'm doing is cursing my blessings. And I don't want to do that, because I can tell you what, I know what it's like not to have health that's a whole lot worse than mine is right now, So I glory and thank God for the health that I have this moment. I praise him for it. So God can use anything or anyone for his glory. The question becomes, are you going to allow him to use us, to use you, to use your family, to use your finances, use everything that you have to impact lives and to be a part of something that long outlasts this earthly legacy that you have this morning? And then verses 7 through 8, when the angel who spoke to him had gone, he called two of his household slaves and a devout soldier who was one of those that attended him. After explaining everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is this. If God leads you, don't ask questions, just do it. To me, the first real illustration of this that I even remember as a child scripturally coming to the understanding of was Abraham. Now, I didn't understand as a child what it, the picture of what it required of Abraham when God told him to go. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, Abraham, you know, just gets a backpack on his back and gets his family and just kind of walks on. No. This would have been a momentous undertaking. And by the way, they didn't load up in their SUV with AC and heat and a cargo rack and a trailer. No. This was grueling. When he committed to be obedient to do what God wanted him to do, would have, in my opinion, physically made me want to go outside and vomit. I'm just going to be honest. I think it's important for me to be candid with you. And I'm just going to tell you, if God had told me that and an understanding, even remotely, what Abraham had going on, I would have thrown up. Because it was an incredible thing that God was asking. But see, God attached a promise to it. If you go, this is what I'll do. God just wants obedience. That's all he wants. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. God just wants us to do what we're supposed to do. That's it. Easier said than done, right? How many blessings have been held back? You ready? I said this a number of months ago, and I remember it vividly when the Lord gave me this. How many people right now in this room, because of the dam of disobedience that we have allowed because of our sin to plug up the wellspring of God's blessing that flows into our lives, the dam of disobedience and sin that has withheld the incredible blessing that God has wanted to pour on us and you. And I'm not just saying health and wealth and prosperity. I'm talking about peace in the midst of a storm, to sit in the middle, you know, with the disciples last week. How can Jesus be sleeping in the storm? What's wrong with you? That's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You can sleep in the midst of a storm because the master of the storm is there on the boat. Who cares? We perish, well, we have a big deal. We're with the master of the storm. All they were doing is manifesting their faithlessness, and that's what we do. We want to sit around when we don't understand why the world has dried up in our proverbial life. Our estate, spiritually speaking, has completely come bone dry. And we're shouting at the world, I don't know why I'm suffering, and yet your sin, your unforgiveness, your bitterness, your anger, your resentment, your coveting, your lust, whatever it is, has completely dammed up in your life. And God is saying, hey, I want to fellowship with you, but when we are steeped in unrepentant sin, we have walled ourselves off from him. 1 John 1:9, confess your sin, what? He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that do? It unplugs the dam that's holding back God's blessing in our lives, and he pours out the blessing, the peace, the provision, and all of these things, because we also know what Scripture says. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, from the Lord of love, that does not change like shifting shadows. So everything in your life that you have good this morning, you hit a big lick at work, you think you did. The ability that God gave you, that gave you the ability to hit that big lick, don't you ever forget where that ability came from. And I will assure you, knowing from personal experience, he can take that away from you faster than you can think it. I know this. It is a really smart thing to remember when old man wants to pat you on the back for how awesome you are and blow your head up so big you can't get out of the house. You make sure you remember from where all of those blessings came, that ability and all of that that God's given us the ability to do. Because you don't ever want him to teach you that it came from him. Because I will assure you, it is a very, very painful lesson to learn. Because then you really are standing in the midst of a desert. And there's no dam. There's nothing in sight. All you are then is Elijah in the wilderness, in a sense. And guess what God says? All right, so you better start praying. You want to understand where you're going to get every hand-to-mouth provision? You're going to find out what understanding what the beauty of God's hand, the love of God, his supernatural provision. And then it comes, though, at many times at great expense and pain and heartache. But all of it is then, even in love. He does that in love. Because what does he desire? He desires fellowship with us. God desires to dwell with us. We know that because the very beginning of Scripture shows us that. God walked with Adam. Can you imagine even the excitement of God in his fellowship and his walking with Adam? Desiring to hear about what is creation that he so masterfully created. So what'd you do today? He knew it already. God already knew what he was doing. This is the same thing that happened when sin. Adam, where are you? All right, God, I don't know where he is. God knew exactly where he was. What did God care about? He cares about fellowship. He cares about hearing from us. Yes, he already knows what we're dealing with. Not a hair falls off our head. You think every time he sees you, he's like, okay, let's start over. It was 1, 2, 3. No. It's not even a thought process. God is all-knowing, which is still blows my mind. But this morning, the greatest place of peace you'll ever live is the place where if God leads you to do something, don't question it. Now, you say, well, I don't know. What happens if he, you know, wants me to do something really out there? Well, how do you know? Well, look at Scripture. It doesn't contradict Scripture. If it is in accordance with his will, why do you know when you pray that someone would come to faith in Jesus Christ, that that's a prayer you know God is most likely going to answer? If you are fervent in that and you do what Scripture says, because you're praying in accordance with God's will. That's God's will. Now, someone can defy God's will. They can say, I don't want that. I'm not going to be obedient, because if it was the case of no matter what happens, everybody's always going to be obedient, we wouldn't be in this mess. Amen? Everybody would have finally gotten, whoa, I don't like that. Every person you see on TV, the TV preachers that go out and do something really foolish, and we see it all over national TV, you'd see the first one and you'd go, oh, I don't want nothing to do with that. And then from the rest of history, it would be nothing more than obedience and everybody doing the right thing. But God gave us that little pesky thing called free will. Oh, if there was one thing that I could remove right now, and I'm telling you with sincerity, I wish I could remove free will even with me. I'd remove it from all of you. Why? Because then you do the right thing all the time. Yeah, your wives would think you've lost your mind, husbands. You shouldn't be supposed to laugh there. Well, you really should laugh there. Right, guys? Everybody in here do the right thing all the time, evidently so. But no, we don't do what we should sometimes. We have attitudes that we shouldn't have. See, if God took the free will out of it, guess what would happen? You would honor her. You would love her as Christ loved the church all the time. You know what would happen? There wouldn't be no need for a marriage counselor ever again. Because everybody would do what they're supposed to do. But again, the doggone free will had to butt in. Amen. But you know, I'm thankful this morning that we have the ability to do what we're supposed to. See, Jesus was tempted in all ways like us, but he was without sin. See, we have a high priest this morning that can sympathize with us. See, Jesus, remember when he was baptized, what descended on him? It's like a dove, the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us as a follower of Jesus Christ today. We have the conviction this morning. So if you are truly seeking God's face and you're praying, God, I don't know this guy this morning that stand up here looking at me and going, God, I don't understand. This dude's just blown my mind with this talk this morning about what God's word says. And I may not understand all of what he's telling, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to get in the Bible and I'm going to read what he's saying. But God, I want to live. I want to be all in. And I don't know what that looks like right now, Lord. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what happens. I can lose it all, Father. But God, I don't care. I've got nothing to go back to. And God, I want that peace that he's talking about, because if you're sitting there feeling like I did in 2004, you know what misery is. You know what hopelessness is. You know what brokenness is. You know what sin and shame feels like. And you want anything other than that. See, when you become desperate for the Lord, you don't care what it costs you. You'll go live in a tent and have the peace of God, and you don't care what if you ever are given anything nice, anything consequential in the earthly sense again, because you know what it's like to dwell in the belly of misery. I'll just share with you the story that most notably to me explains it. We have this, and I think it at VBS, they don't mean to do it. I remember as a child, they mischaracterized the Jonah experience. Because I remember in the picture that they cast by the story of Jonah was that Jonah gets swallowed by this big whale. And they always had little hair, you know, water shooting out of the top of it. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, hey, so he's had a fire in there, you know, and he's chilling out inside this whale and that thing's burping smoke. And they're just having a great time together. That wasn't, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you what I believe fully, that God gave me a revelation and understanding, because by the way, Scripture doesn't say anything about a whale. It says a fish. What more could have helped give Jonah a vivid, quick understanding of what the constraints of sin do to us? I will tell you what. The moment that Jonah got swallowed, he was encased in a stomach that was about the size that he was. That's what I believe. I don't believe there was a bunch of area in there to do jumping jacks and calisthenics and set a fire and cook some dinner and chill out. No. I believe what God did was show him the constraints of what sin would do, choke the life out of him and rob him of everything that he would ever be or could be. And just think about the level of darkness that it would have been inside that fish. And it's amazing how quickly Jonah's mindset changed. I'll go. How long was he in there? Thank you. Now listen, it wouldn't have taken me about 30 seconds to go, whoa, uncle. You'll cry, uncle? Yep. White flag. Oh, sorry, I can't wave the white flag. Nothing. You are laying there. And God is showing you the effect of your sin. It paralyzes you, makes you completely ineffective. We do nothing for him. When we are in that position, we are powerless. But then we see the beauty of God's forgiveness, his mercy, his grace. See, God this morning can lead us if we are able to be led. And we have the Spirit of God that dwells within us, that will convict us, that will lead us, that will guide us. We have his word, his spoken word that speaks to us. And you might be, in a sense, like a Cornelius this morning that's here going, I don't understand all of it. I don't understand it. I want to know. But right now, I'm a Cornelius, and I want to honor the Lord, and I'm praying right now, and I don't even know what it means to talk to him, but I'm doing what I know to do. I want to tell you you're at the right place. And I say that because the picture of my life is this: I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And that's what it means to be a person that doesn't know, that doesn't have any clue. I was blind, but through placing my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, repenting of my sin, he took me on September 20th, 2004, He lifted the weight of sin off me, the magnitude of my sin. I still don't understand why I did it. Having grown up in a Christian home, having all the opportunity and options, God is so graceful and merciful. So if you're here today and you feel like you have messed up times a thousand, I'm with you and I understand what you're feeling like. But guess what? The depth of your sin will never exceed the reach of Jesus Christ's love and forgiveness for you. And I want you to know this morning, He loves you. He loves you. He paid the price for your sin this morning. But the question becomes, what are you going to do with it? Are you the missing link this morning that God's wanting to use to reach someone? See, when God placed me here 14 years ago in that little building that was here with that faithful little group of people that had been here, I had no clue the reach of what God would do. I went out of my obedience and just yielded myself to God's purpose and plan with my young children. And it looked a little crazy at the time because I had little children and there weren't children here. But see, God knew. And you watch that little children's church today as he walks out, and I'm once again reminded that God just needs us to be obedient. That's all. We don't have to worry about the details. God will take care of those. All we've got to do is say, God, I'll do what you want. So this morning, what is it that God wants to do with you, whether it's from the very beginning of salvation and God saying, I died for you, I love you. Let me take that weight of sin. Let me take the mess you've created because I want to use you, I want to bless you, I want to forgive you, I want to cleanse you. Or maybe you're here today and the life that you've been living is one that's made zero imprints for Christ. You've realized that your whole focus in your life has been you and you've been internally focused. But today you want that to change. In a sense, you want a proverbial line drawn in the sand and you're ready to go, no, I'm not going to build the empire of me any longer. This empire of dirt. And today maybe you say, Lord, I'm no longer going to do this because I know what is consequential, what works and what is real started with Christ Jesus on the cross. The finished is finished. The complete payment for our sin has been accomplished. But what does that gift of salvation and the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ mean to you today? Is it a thought process? Or is he the Lord of your life? There's no such thing as a salvation. I'm saved, but God's not going to tell me what to do. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. Either he is your Lord. There's no such thing as, God, I'll take your salvation, but I'm not going to serve you or suffer for your name. Scripture says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Is that your life today? Maybe you've gotten caught up in that proverbial belief that, you know, I just want to have it here. I don't care what happens with the rest of it. Listen, if he is not the master of your steps, the master of your life, the master of your home, I would challenge you this morning to step back and do a checkup from the neck up, do an inventory of your life. This morning, what is the missing link going to be for you today? I want you to know this morning that Jesus loves you, and I'll say it again because I think it's important and I think it needs to be stated, shouted, echo through the halls of eternity because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised 5 more minutes. We're not promised anything. And every one of us has a clock above us. We just can't see the numbers. As the missionary Jim Elliot stated shortly before he was killed, sharing the gospel with the Aka Indians, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. What can we not keep? This life. The things of this life. Once again, with Naomi Judd. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to read what was stated and understand what's happened. We have lost someone to mental illness. The last time I saw anything, that's not like cancer. Something happens when you are bound in that that causes you to cease breathing life, and I'll leave it at that. But the money, the fame, and the fortune so many people believe at times is, oh, I want to be like them. Look at Michael Jackson. Look at Jim Morrison. Look at Elvis. We can go through the litany of, in history, all throughout history, this litany of people who had everything that our children and many of us at times will say, man, that's what living is. To live as Christ and to die as gain. See, all of that stuff is nothing. It is rust and moth. Remember what Scripture says? Don't store up for yourselves treasures where moth and rust can destroy and where thieves can break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth cannot destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. Where your heart is, that's where you are, right? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where's your heart today? Don't miss the glory of knowing your Creator because of the lie of this temporal that says, come, enjoy, live, for tomorrow we die. God's got a great plan and a purpose for you this morning, and I pray today is the day that you finally tell the enemy, I am done with you trying to steal the beauty of God's purpose and plan for me. I want to be what He created me to be. I want to live and walk in the power of the Spirit. And today, I'm putting behind the foolishness of this life, straining towards what is ahead, forgetting what is behind, because those are the things of eternity, the things that truly matter, the things that are consequential. They are the matters of the heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make Him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.